No, what is it?
Hey guys, I'm Madge Mendez, and this is Wisdom Collective. Today, I have a super special guest. Her name is Bella, and I'm so excited to have her. And today, we're going to be talking about mental health, and mostly mental health in the church versus in the world. So, Bella, welcome.
Thank you.
Why don't we start off by you introducing yourself a little bit?
Okay, how do I start now? So my name is Bella, she already said, and I am many things, but I'm a child of God.
Multi-hyphenate.
So I'm a child of God, a policy analyst, public and social policy, and I am a mental health awareness advocate. I run my own organization called the Unveil Mental Health Awareness Foundation. So that's just like a summary of everything
I do. Yeah. Also, you have your own podcast.
Oh, yes, right? I have my podcast and I have a YouTube channel.
Yes.
So, yeah, I do a whole lot of things, I guess.
You're such a busy woman.
Yes.
But yeah, we actually did an episode together for your YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So you guys can go check that out. We're talking also about a similar topic to this with mental health and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to talk to you about this because, like, out of all the people that I know in terms of mental health, you are the one that I think is more out there with your opinions and your thoughts and everything. So I really want to pick your brain on a couple of these things. Because I love how outspoken you are. Mostly you coming from Nigeria and just like, I know that it's a culture like, I think most of the world that is also like very against mental health and stuff like that. Or like not against it, but just like there's a whole stigma around it, right? So I wanted to first start asking you, what do you think is the difference between how we deal with mental health in a church setting and in a non-church setting?
I feel like it's the difference between how I would approach mental health as a believer or my mental health awareness as a believer and how I would do it as a non-believer. So I'll break it down, for example. And I like to share this story before I got saved, right? There are things where, say, for example, I was having like anxiety or I was having a total knockoff on my mental health. I would hang out or maybe take a couple of drinks or a party or maybe, you know. But now, you know, being saved doesn't mean that you're not going to have mental health periods where you need to actually look out for your mental health. So what do I do in those times? Do I pray? Do I talk to my friends? Do I am I led by the Spirit of God on what to do? So for me, it's the approach, right? It just it doesn't mean that this doesn't exist here and it doesn't exist here. It's just the approach, like how we would address it as believers and how unbelievers would address it.
Yeah. So kind of like the mechanisms of how to get out of like a negative mindset, right? Because for me, one of the things I can't really speak about how, like, I would deal with it because I've always been a Christian, so it's very interesting, but seeing how my non-Christian friends deal with their mental health, it's like, just go to therapy. Just go to therapy.
Yeah.
And then in the church, I've seen that it's just like, oh, just pray about it. And so there's, like, this very extremist. Go to therapy or just pray about it. Or even when I was growing up, it was just like, if I would be like, oh, like, I think I have ADHD, or I'm feeling depressed, or I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, I would just be like, oh, just pray about it.
Yeah.
That, God can take care of it. No worries. Just pray about it. And it's just like, what else is there to do, right? So I feel like there should be like a sort of balance, right?
I think the balance is the awareness, right? It's the knowing on both sides, right? It's very possible to be a believer and be mentally ignorant. And it's very possible to be an unbeliever and be mentally ignorant as well, right? There are two differences. And the good thing about being aware and being a Christian is then you know that, like, yes, I have mental health issues. Yes, I have problems, but these things don't define me. And as such, I'm going to find like a way to address it from a what the Spirit of God is saying, what God is leading me to do. Whereas as an unbeliever, you're not in light, so you don't know how to address it. You don't know what exactly to do. So I feel like being a believer and being mentally aware is like a double plus. It's like when the scriptures say that, like, in all thy gettings get wisdom, because then you have wisdom, you have light on how to approach what you're going through. So I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I never thought about it like that. That's really cool. And what do you think would be things that are similar in the way that we approach mental health as well, like in the church and outside of it?
I think the first thing first is the stigma that exists on both sides.
Yeah,
there's a stigma. As an unbeliever, there's always going to be that stigma because, I mean, a lot of people struggle with mental health issues and they expect that when they come to Christ, they will face the same, like, stigma that they faced as unbelievers. It exists in the church too. That's why we're fighting for the voice. And then I think another thing is, on both sides, mental health actually exists. People have problems. Like, it doesn't... There's no shutting down the fact that as an as a believer, you can be depressed, right? And as an unbeliever, you can also be depressed. So it's like an illness. It's a psychological illness that doesn't go away just because. It's just like as a believer, you can have like a fever or whatever, right? As an unbeliever, you can have that too. So these two things exist. First of, the stigma is there. The existence of the mental health is there. Issues, they're always going to be there. And yeah, so many other things that are in common that I can't think of right now.
And what steps do you think we can take to walk away from that stigma as a community?
I always say that we don't have to make sense of everything. I think saying this sounds a bit like throwing it in the wind and just saying, oh, you don't have to make sense of anything. It just means like being empathetic, right? So I don't really have to understand what someone is going through to be nice to them. Actually trying to understand it is taking a step forward. It's like an extra credit. But I have a shirt that says that mental health is not infectious. You don't catch it by being kind. It's all it takes. You don't really have to. For example, someone has like cancer, for example, you might not have cancer, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be nice to them or you shouldn't be empathetic towards them. Same applies for mental health. We don't have to look at people who have mental health challenges as crazy people. So many people struggle, but they have normal jobs, they have lives, they have family members, they're married, they're people we know, right? We have to love them less just because they're struggling with something that we do not understand? Doesn't make sense, right? Absolutely. So I think the step forward to erase the stigma is being a safe space. Being a safe space, I think, is exaggerated when people say, some people talking or being able to accommodate other people doesn't come to them naturally. But I think it's understanding. Being a safe space is understanding. Being a safe space is being present for someone you care about, right? And if you know you can be there for them to talk to, how about refer them to someone who they can talk to? So I think that's the first step in erasing the stigma. First of all, being a safe space.
That's awesome. And once I talked to someone and they said, like, it's very hard when you say, like, oh, I understand what you're going through. Because even if you've been through a similar situation, no one can actually know what you as a person is going through.
It's unique.
Yeah, because everybody reacts to things differently. So how would you deal with this in the sense of, like, saying to someone, oh, I understand what you're going through, I feel you, like, I always say, like, oh, I feel you, girl, like, stuff like that, but at the end, you know, because I don't know that person, I'm not in that person's shoes. What would you say about that?
I think saying I understand what you're going through is a politically correct thing to say. We don't have to say that. We just say, for example, I acknowledge what you're going through. It's a thing. You don't have to. I don't need to. For example, someone has schizophrenia. That's an extreme. But, like, I'm just saying. Or, like, even a borderline depression or something. I don't have to say I understand what you're going through because I've never been depressed before, for example. Or I've never had ADHD or any mental illness. But it means I acknowledge what you're going through. And I see that this can be difficult for you right now. So I don't necessarily have to say, oh, I think it's something that we just say so we look good. So we look nice. But it's okay not to understand. And I think people understand when you say, I don't understand. So that way they know that you actually admit that you do not understand and you want to know, right? So it's like, oh yeah, I see, I understand that you're going through a difficult time right now. How can I help you? I think it's as easy as that.
That's nice. And the idea of, like, I acknowledge that you're going through something that I don't understand is also something that I, like, it's difficult for me because I always try to be, like, super empathetic and, like, super nice to people, but then I don't know what they're going through. And even today, like, I was talking with my coworker and she's like, oh, like, I miss being in my home country. I'm like, me too. Like, I completely understand. But then she was talking about a scenario that was very different that, yes, I'm going through it, but it's her country, her life and everything. So it's like, when I see myself going into that of, like, oh, I understand what you're going through, I actually have come to, ask them questions and be like, how does that make you feel? Yeah. And like, is there something that you're going to do about it? Yeah. Or what steps are you going to take to get out of that and stuff like that? Because it is a very fine line of saying like, I understand you. Like, because you don't, right? It's really crazy. And when you mentioned about the stigma, it's really funny because when I was thinking about like this topic and everything, one of the things was like, in the workplace, when you say like, oh, I'm going to therapy, or I need help or something like that, I feel like I would never be like, in the company that I'm in right now, like it's very safe, like we're very good friends, so I always say like, oh yeah, I have therapy session, bye, you know, like see you later. And then my coworker used to have therapy like right next door, so she would go all the time. But I don't know if in more of a corporate setting, my fear is that people would be like, oh, you're crazy. Or like they would doubt you because you have these mental issues. What do you think about that?
I think it's so true. And I mean, I thought it was unique to Africa, but now I think it's everywhere. Because the truth is, why I love doing what I'm doing right now, especially as a policy analyst, is because it gives me perspective into like the reality of mental health on awareness in the world. There are no policies that actually cater for mental health. So it somehow makes it very difficult to say, for example, I'm going to take a mental health leave, right? Or I'm going to see a therapist, or I'm going to do this. And it feels like when you do that, people are looking at you like, like there's no part of your contract that provides for that. And it still boils down to the general knowledge, the stigma around it. The fact that people don't think that mental illnesses are like a good enough reason
To take a sick day.
To take a break or take a sick leave.
Yeah. You know, there's no mental health days in your contract.
Imagine I woke up one morning and said, you know, I don't feel good today and I'm just going to stay home and like maybe just rest and have like a day of self-care. Yeah. And I called in, they would say, do you have a doctor's report for that?
Yeah.
And it would sound crazy, but it's true.
Yeah.
Some people are like at the verge of, there are people who wake up and are actually on meds, right? Yeah. They can't see their therapist every day the way I would walk into a GP's office and have like a report, right?
Yeah.
But it's, they don't have their GPs or their therapist on call like that. You know, it's, I think it's a whole culture that we haven't been able to embrace. And as such, like, I think it would not find its place in the workplace until people start to actually acknowledge the fact that mental illnesses actually exist.
That's very true. Because I feel like also, I've had to, when I feel like I need a mental health day, you know, like a self-care day, I've had to be like, hey, sorry, I have a headache, so I'm going to stay home.
Exactly.
Like, I don't like lying.
We've all done that. We've all been in that space where we're like, oh my God, okay, so what am I going to say?
Like, what's my excuse today?
What's going to happen?
Yeah, but it's because you know you need it.
Yeah.
There's days where I'm just like, nope, I can't go into that office right now. Yeah. It's not, I'm not in the mind space. Yeah. And then I'm going to, like, I do have a headache from just thinking about it. So I'm like, I'm sorry, I have a headache. And even if it's like minor, I'm like, I'm staying home. I'm staying home. I cannot deal with this.
I think there was a time when I had like a breakdown at work and then my coworkers saw me cry, right? And they looked at me so alien. They're like, what are you doing? This is a work environment. Can you brace yourself? But I'm human, right? Yeah. So like, I don't need to hide behind closed doors to have a breakdown. I could have an outburst. People are not... Like, they don't understand the fact that, you know, people are more than what you see at work.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's just this face, like, oh, they see Adri with her computer and they see you, where, like, you're looking good at work.
It's
and
like for them, it's away. Like, yeah.
For them, it's like, that's all of Adri. But there's a part of her who goes through the stress, who has, like, times where she just needs to, like, let it out and cry. And the corporate environment isn't ready for that discussion.
Absolutely. And how would you say, what would you tell someone that is coming into Christ and they're dealing with these mental health things as well? Because I think it has this little idea of the corporate world as well, that we're still kind of weary about it.
Yeah.
But what would you say to someone that is coming into the faith?
I would say go easy on yourself. And I think when it comes to mental health, it's important to embrace the love of God more than the love of people. Because so you need that the most.
Yeah.
I think mental health shows you the extent of God's love for you, especially when you're struggling, right? When you are looking to people for validation, you might never get that. Especially because, like we just explained, there are people who would probably never understand it. Or there are people who would never come to the light of it. So to me, I think it's important to lean in to that love of God. You know, ask the Spirit of God. It's time for you to grow in your intimacy. For me, I feel like being drawn to God at the time of a mental health breakdown helped me understand myself more from the way that God saw me, right? Mm-hmm. There were situations that God would specifically tell me not to walk into, mm-hmm. because he knows my mental health more than I know. You know,
yeah,
there are times when God would tell me, oh no, that's it, not the conversation for you, right? Mm-hmm. That's a trigger, don't go there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, do this, act this way, protect mm-hmm. yourself. And mm-hmm. we can't outlove God when it comes to ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important to not look at, I mean, there are people do not, should be empathetic to you, but in the grand scheme of things, they don't owe you empathy.
Exactly.
Right? So it's good to look more to God. Yeah. Than humans, because humans will fail, but God absolutely. Doesn't fail.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that literally hit my heart. I was like, oh, I needed to hear that today. That's crazy. And then also, one thing that I was looking into was that the Bible doesn't talk explicitly about mental health. I was like, I Google like mental health Bible verses, and it was like Jeremiah 29, and I was just like, this doesn't speak to my mental health. Like, I know God has future for me, but like, I don't know. How would you say like we can apply the Bible to our mental health?
I think my anchor scripture would always be, in my weakness that's where his strength is made known. Because my mental health is my weakness. A lot of people don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think anybody likes being depressed. It's a weakness. And we have to acknowledge that it is a weakness. As much as we live in a woke culture, people like to pride in their mental illnesses. But in the real life, nobody is happy that I know people who have died from this illness. It's not something to be proud of, right? Yeah. So I think that it's a weakness, and I acknowledge that it is. Mm. And I look at God and I say, God, your word says that in my weakness, your strength uplifts me, right? Mm. So when I'm going through a downtime, it's time for me to go back to the word of God. And I hold on to that word, because I think it came from Paul. Paul was a very powerful man. And if Paul could acknowledge that he was weak, despite the fact that he wrote how many books of the Bible, mm-hmm. and he led how many churches, then even Jesus cried out and said, you know, not my will, but your will.
Yeah.
I wish that this cup would pass. Mm-hmm. So there's a cup. The Bible doesn't say that, you know, being with God means that a complete takeaway of everything. The Bible also says that he says that, I think my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Mm. So it does acknowledge that there is a burden that comes with knowing God.
Yeah.
It means that the joy that God has promised us isn't here. It's in heaven.
Yeah.
So there are going to be things that would happen, and God wants that opportunity to connect with you, to love you, to get to know you, to have you know what is on his heart for you. So I think that's what we should always go back to. What does God say? I spend time in Psalms, like when I read the Psalms and I see how David pours out his heart to God, sometimes I'm like, God, this has to be me right now.
Oh my God, I really needed to hear that. I think that is our time for today. It's crazy that we touched on so much in such a little time. Thank you so much.
Good. Thank you for having me.
I'm gonna leave us with this Bible verse that really like touched my heart, and it's Isaiah 53, and it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the something that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Like that part, with his wounds we are healed, it really reminds me that he gave his life for me, not just for my physical healing, but also for my mental healing. So that is something that I pray over every person that's listening to this episode, that you may find comfort in Jesus. I will also leave some really cool Bible verses in the caption or like description, so you guys can look at those. But Bella, thank you so much for today. You are awesome.
Thank you.
And stay tuned for the next episode, guys. Bye.